Praise you, Lord. Well, it's been very, very wonderful. I don't know about you, but I was really blessed last night because I tend to eat my own cooking. It's important. If nobody else can get blessed, you make sure you're blessed. Amen. Got to learn to be able to eat your own cooking. So I was really, really blessed last night. I hope you were too. And I got real motivated and really encouraged, amen, to keep on pressing on, amen. Because sometimes my mouth says things that my head doesn't know. Because it's the Lord. When you stand up here, you're the Lord's servant. And when you get off here, you can take the same tapes and you can get blessed like everybody else, amen. Hallelujah. Well, we've had an awesome time. I trust you had a good time this morning and with Bill, and we had a good time as well. We're just speaking at Pastor Fatu's church, and we had one girl, 5 years, deaf in 1 year because of a tumor in the brain that just took all the hearing away, completely, totally deaf. And the Lord touched her this morning and healed her ear and restored it. And she can hear as perfectly as the other one. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. And Pastor Fedor said to me that, you know, they never used to come to church. They'd stop going to church. They're offended about things. And now they have decided they're coming out of that hole and committing again to serve the Lord and connect again with people. So it's so wonderful how God can just reach out and reach down and touch people and bless them and really encourage them. And so that was a real, real blessing. We had another girl with a spinal condition. I think that's stronger. Praise the Lord. I'll move this here and yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Again, lower it down a bit so I can spit on the people in the front row. Yeah, perfect. Now you can see me. That's right. I love it. Yeah, just pray that it'd be great. So we had this this young girl. Also, she just had quite a few issues with her spine. She was dancing. She does ballet and twisted her back, and God healed her just this morning. That was another wonderful testimony. And after the meeting, she said to me, well, I've got a friend of mine. She's twisted her knee dancing, literally twisted it, and had to go to the hospital and was getting physio done on the leg. She said, would you be able to pray for her? So we went outside, she rang the friend, and the friend is not saved, not a Christian. So it was a really funny, awkward conversation. And I said to her, she said, I've got Pastor Jimmy here. She wants to pray for you. Here's the phone. You know, so just really, because she didn't want to get embarrassed. It was a friend. And so I took the phone and I talked to her and I asked her if I can pray for her knee. And she said, yeah. So we prayed. I prayed for the knee and instantly God healed the knee. Wherever she is, totally healed the knee. I told her, get up, do a bit of a dance move, jump around. And she was just screaming on the other side of the phone and saying, it's all gone. It's all gone. All the pain's left. I can move it. There's no issues at all. And she's just been going through therapy and physio trying to get the knee working. And then I asked if she was born again, and she said no, she's not born again. And I said to her, the same Jesus that healed your knee wants to save your soul. And I led her to the Lord. I said a sinner's prayer. She gave her heart to Jesus, and she said she's coming to church next Sunday. Amen. Come on, somebody, give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to preach the gospel with signs and wonders. You know, Paul said something real powerful. He said, and my preaching and my teaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration. Amen? In the demonstration. God doesn't want us to just preach with persuasive words of human wisdom. He wants us to move into the demonstrations. Amen?
It's kind of like going into a Toyota dealership and a salesman tells you, buy this Toyota. It's a real great Toyota. It drives real good and it works very well. And then after work, they jump into a Honda. They don't believe what they're preaching. And drive a Honda home or drive another different kind of car. God is looking for people who are going to drive a Toyota and preach Toyota. Amen. And say, you can buy this. I know. So that's the difference between demonstrating and persuasive words of human wisdom. Amen. Hallelujah. He wants you to be able to say, yeah, this is right. And the problem with preaching just with persuasive words of human wisdom is that you have people who are converted, they become Christian, they love the Lord, but their faith is in the wisdom of men and not in the power of God. And so they believe Jesus, but they don't believe he can still heal. They believe Jesus, but they don't believe God can get them out of the mess that they're in. They believe Jesus, they are born again, go to church, but they don't believe that God can take them out of their addictions and set them free just like that. And so Paul says, am I preaching, am I speaking? Well, not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in a demonstration of power. Hallelujah. That your faith may not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. So we believe that he is not just that he saves, but he is able to deliver as well. Hallelujah. This afternoon, the Lord gave me a word I want to share about spiritual warfare a little bit. I was waiting on the Lord, and the Lord just put it on my spirit to come and share and give you. It's about eight signs that tell you you're under spiritual attack. Now, it's important that we know when we're under attack, because that is the difference between responding and reacting. Amen. Because a lot of us, we come under attack and we react instead of respond. The reason why we react is because we do not know where the issue is or where the problem is coming from. The difference between responding and reacting is that when you respond, you're sitting in the driver's seat. But when you react, your emotions and your condition and where you are at is sitting in the driver's seat, and that's what's controlling you. So God wants to move us from just reacting to responding. And so we have to learn and we have to know how do you know that what you're going through and what you're facing right now, how do you know that that is a spiritual attack? How do you know the sickness you're going through is a real sickness and not, you know, the pizza you had last night? Because sometimes it's what you ate that made you sick. It's not the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. I've been to a restaurant. The Lord said to me, don't eat that fish. But I disobeyed. I ate that fish and I sat in the throne room for the whole night till morning. I didn't dare ask the devil. I had to repent because the Lord told me, don't eat that fish. Amen. So sometimes you have to be able to learn how to discern and know there are some things you rebuke and there are some things you... Remember, Jesus went to Simon Peter's mother and the Bible says he rebuked the fever. You don't rebuke a sickness, you rebuke a spirit. There are some things which are spirits. There are some things which are just a natural attack that you have to deal with. Amen. And so we have to get some discernment. And the Lord gave me eight things that if you see these things, you know that you're under spiritual attack. And therefore, we have to be able to learn to respond rather than to react. And many times the difference between reacting and responding is this. Sometimes you can get to a place whereby the attack comes through people. The attack comes through people. Now, how do I know the attack comes through people? Because Lucifer, if you look at Jeremiah, Lucifer was the anointed cherub that covereth. Now, if Lucifer appeared here in the exact form that he's really, because the movies and the pictures they don't really do him justice. They usually portray him as this blonde-headed angel who's got some really dark, menacing eyes and horns. But that's not how he really looks in the, if he really appeared in his true form. Because we can see in Ezekiel, that we can see the description of what cherubims really look like. They actually have four faces. The cherubims have four faces. He was a cherub. The type of angel that Lucifer was, he was a cherub. And and when you look at the cherubs as described in the Old Testament, the Bible says that the cherub had the face of a lion, had the face of an ox, had the face of a man, and the face of a eagle. And so these are the four areas or the four avenues that Satan can attack you through. And I don't have time. You know, I've only got one session, and these 8 points, it took me a few Sundays to just get it through with our church. So when he attacks us through the face of an eagle, that is, the Bible says, is the prince of the air. It talks to us about him being the prince of the air. We're dealing with the principalities in heavenly places. When he comes and he attacks us through the face of an ox, the Bible says he puts yokes on people. But the yokes are broken by reason of what? The anointing. When he attacks us through the face of a man, this is another way that Satan can attack you. He can come against you through people. He can wear the face of a man. That's why Jesus had to recognize Lucifer when he came through Peter. And he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So when you begin to look at this, and what's the other one? The lion. The face of a lion. Why? Because the Bible says that the devil walketh about like a what? Roaring lion. Seeking whom he may devour. So there's a four aspects of how Lucifer or the devil may try to attack the body of Christ. These three, four aspects. If you can understand them, you can guard yourself from being attacked. And like I said, I don't really have enough time to really deal with it. Because when you go through the scriptures, there's four gospels. And in the four gospels, each gospel actually reveals an aspect of Jesus Christ. Number one, he's revealed in Matthew as the lion of the tribe of Judah. Glory to God. And he's able to counter that face of a lion. He is revealed as the face of a man because he is touched by the feelings of your infirmity. The book of John. The book of Luke, we see he's the one who says, "Come unto me, who those who labor and are heavy laden, take my yoke, it is easy." He would take the yoke of the enemy and he put his yoke upon you. So every aspect of the devil, he can destroy it and he can break it in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. So the four gospels actually represent a certain aspect of Jesus Christ himself that counters the four faces of Lucifer. Now let me just say this, in the world, and this is why you have to pray for your leaders. We have to pray for those who have been elected to be on the board of the leadership of Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship, because they are the number one targets of the enemy. Because in the world, let me put it this way, in the world, the higher you go in the military, the farther you are from war. So when you become like a general, you are the farthest away from the war front. Some of the generals are directing the battles from the Pentagon in Afghanistan. They're giving the directions from the Pentagon in America. The higher you go in rank in the natural army, the farther you are removed from war. But in the realm of the spirit, it's different. Because the higher God promotes you in the realm of the spirit, the closer you are to the front line. So if you've been called by God to be a general, guess where you are? You are where the bullets will land first. Hallelujah. Now, that's why you've got to learn how to pray for your leaders. Because if they go down, you go down. Satan knows, strike the shepherd, scatter the sheep. He understands spiritual authorities. He understands the plans that God has put there. And he knows he cannot touch you unless he can touch the leadership. That's why you have to pray for your leaders. Because how they are will be reflected with how you are. Do you remember Moses was up on top of the mountain? As long as his hands was in the air, they were having victory. But when he begins to become tired, they were losing. Because God understands spiritual authority. If you look at the book of Genesis, and this is a mystery, the Bible says Adam was the spiritual authority or the head of Eve, his wife. And the Bible says when Eve went and ate the fruit, nothing happened. Why? Because the authority already covered Eve. It was only when she went and gave the fruit to Adam that God came and responded, because now they had fallen, because the man had eaten the fruit. The same thing we see with the book of Job. The Bible says with Job, God spoke to Job and he said, Lucifer went to God and he said, and God said to Lucifer, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And the Bible says that Lucifer said to God, "Well, you have put a hedge of protection around him, around his property, and everything else he has." So Lucifer could not touch even Job's children as long as Job was walking with God. Because they would have their crazy all-night parties, and in the morning he would offer sacrifice just in case they had committed sin. And Lucifer's own words to God said this: "I cannot touch him or his family or his property or anything that he owns, because you put a hedge of protection around them." It didn't matter if his children were living in sin and living in debauchery and not living right, because the father was covering them, Satan didn't have access to touch them. As long as Adam was still obeying God, even if Eve had eaten the fruit, I believe he could have restored her. But it was when he ate the fruit that God came and began to deal with them. It's all in the scripture. Hallelujah. So you've got to understand spiritual authority. The devil knows, strike the shepherd, scatter the sheep. If he can get to the leaders, then he can get to the rest of us. That's why we need to pray for those who are on the national board. We have to pray for the chairman and the vice chairman and the president and all those who are serving our leaders. You've got to pray for them, because if they are protected, then you are safe. Hallelujah. Amen. So whenever you pray and ask God for promotion, you're moving closer to the front line. You move closer to the front line and closer, and you say, "God, promote me, use me, bring me to that place." The more you do that and the more God lifts you up, the closer you are to the front line. And that is why you're coming under attack, is because of the promotion that you are beginning to receive. New levels, new devils. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I just want to talk about the different things, the different ways that all the attacks of the enemy are classified under. If you have your Bible, Luke chapter 10, verse 17 to 20. I'm going to try and really go through this as fast as I can, because I don't know if I'll be able to finish it, but I'll try and cover as much as possible. Luke 10, verse 17 to 20. It says, "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' And he said to them, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give unto you authority.'" Somebody say authority. Authority. It says, "To trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Luke 10, 17 to verse 20. Now, right there in that passage, that verse, the Lord gives us the two classifications of demon spirits and how they will attack humanity. He says to us that he has given us power and authority above, against all serpents and scorpions. Whenever Satan decides to come to attack the body of Christ or the people of God, he will always come in these two categories. He will either come as a serpent or he'll come as a scorpion. Now let me talk about serpents. Serpents represents the spirit of deception. The first way that Satan can come and attack the body of Christ is through bringing deception. That is why in the Garden of Eden, Satan came into that garden in the form of a what? A serpent. And what did Lucifer say? Did God really say? She began to take the word of God and twist the word of God. And deception is whenever we take the word of God and we begin to twist the word of God to fit whatever we believe and whatever we want it to say. The spirit of deception is when we preach the truth and not the whole truth. The spirit of deception can come and get to a place, did God really say? And Satan took the things that God said and he began to twist them and brought some confusion. Because the only thing that really protects you from the spirit of deception is the love of the truth. Hallelujah. The love of the truth will protect you from the spirit of deception. We see him coming to Jesus like a serpent in Matthew chapter 4. When he tempted him in the wilderness. Again, we see him taking scriptures and twisting it. Take yourself up to the top of the mountain. Cast yourself. The Bible, it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to hold you up in the hands. Satan quoted the scripture very well, but he misapplied the word of God. Sometimes a lot of places whereby people are bound up, you see, they are well, they're healthy, there's nothing wrong with them physically, but you can be in a place where in your spirit you're bound up because of deception. And so one of the ways he comes in, and he has dropped mighty men of God because of the spirit of deception. I used to love listening to Colton Pearson. Some of you may remember Colton Pearson. Used to do the Azusa conferences in the 90s. He got to a place where he said there's no hell. Hell does not exist. That's a figment of man's imagination. Tremendous mighty man of God. He got to a place where now he embraces a homosexual lifestyle and all these people are okay. There's nothing wrong with this sin. This sin is okay. It's welcome. God made them that way. And he used to be a powerful man of God. There's deception that comes in. And what it does, it doesn't bring strange doctrine. It doesn't bring new age stuff. It can take the truth and cause you to twist the truth. And you find yourself in a place whereby we're not believing the word of God. We can get to a place whereby even today, we get to a place where we are believing lies. The devil comes and he tells us lies. And some of the strongholds that we have in our lives are because of false doctrine or because of the spirit of deception that has come into the body of Christ. So the number one way that Satan will attack the body of Christ is through what? The spirit of deception. Now, if he cannot attack you through the spirit of deception, he will attack you through scorpion. The second category is the category I call them as scorpions. Now, if you've ever been bitten by a scorpion, and I have in Australia, I was working beside, fruit picking beside the Condamine River. I went there to work and work on fruit picks just initially when I came to Australia. About 8, 9 years ago. And the place where the farmer was gave us for an accommodation, he had crammed too many people in those. They looked like there were little cubicles and containers that had been turned into bunk beds, bunk rooms, right? That bunk beds. And if you've ever been in a container, you know how hot it is in summer. So I said to the farmer, with all due respect, take me down to the nearest boarding company and fishing. I'll buy myself a tent, a swag, and I'll put up my tent by the Condamine River, and I'll stay in my tent. Praise God. It's cooler in the tent. So I went out, bought some others had tents there. They didn't want to stay in there. So we put up our tents. And I remember one day I came in, and a scorpion must have gotten in and gotten in my sleeping bag. I went to sleep. And in the night, my hand was stinging painful. I got up, and I turned on my torch, and I lifted up the sleeping bag, and there was a scorpion there, a little black scorpion. I punched the living daylights out of him first thing. Jesus' name. That's how you respond. Amen. After I knocked him out, I took him outside and finished him off, and I came back and I put my hand on my arm and I prayed because it felt like hot water had been poured over. It was just burning, burning. Prayed for my arm in Jesus' name, put my head back on the pillow, went to sleep, got up in the morning, not a single issue. Nothing, no pain, no, nothing wrong. Hallelujah. So I've been stung by a scorpion. It is painful. Take a wasp and multiply that about two or three times. A bee sting. That's terrible. Leaves a venom in you when it stings you. Whenever the Bible says that he comes to us, the enemy comes to us in the category of a scorpion, these are all spirits of torment. Whenever you have to deal with cancer, people that have been attacked by the devil and they've got cancer, anything in your life that brings torment is under the category of scorpions. So some people, they have the truth, but what happens is that even with the truth that we have, we are still struggling because we are being attacked by tormenting spirits. So you can take all sicknesses, all diseases, and put them in the category of the scorpion. So if he cannot come to you with a deception, then he will come and try to attack you with torment. He will try to hurt you, put stuff on you that you shouldn't have. And the Bible says that if there is any other category that is not covered by these two, you still, as a believer, have authority even over those spirits. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says, I give unto you authority, power over serpents and scorpions and over all. If they don't fall in these two categories, you still have authority over it. Hallelujah. And so once we begin to understand this and we begin to understand the way that these spirits operate and the way that they act, I don't have time to talk about territorial spirits. I don't have time to talk about spirits that are in regional areas. And every time you want to know who is the ruling spirit over a region, look at the prevailing scene of the land. If you go to San Francisco, it's the gay capital of the world. There's more gay people in San Francisco than anywhere else. That's right. And do you know why? Because I believe the spirit over that place is a homosexual spirit. If you go, I had a preacher. He went to Las Vegas. And he said, all my life I've never had a single problem or urge to gamble. He said, until the day I went to Las Vegas, he was going there to preach and they put him in one of the hotels there, the Grand or whatever, one of them. And he said that I felt like walking through there, there was an urge in me that was unfamiliar to me. I felt like putting some money in those one bandits. He said, I've never, all my life, I've been a servant of God. I've loved God. But somehow when I went to Las Vegas, I had a desire to gamble. And I don't know where it came from. Why? Because the ruling spirit over Las Vegas is a gambling spirit. Every city, every place, there is territorial spirits over that area. And whatever the people give themselves into, they empower in the realm of the spirit. That is why you can go to this place and pray and you have an open heaven and you get breakthrough. And you go to another place and pray and you have issues with getting a breakthrough. The Bible says the children of Israel in the book of Daniel had been taken from Israel and taken to Babylon. And the Bible says Daniel went and he began to pray. And for 21 days he fasted and waited on God. And the angel, when he finally broke through after 21 days, said to him, Daniel, the moment you decided to pray, God sent an answer. But the prince of Persia withstood me for 21 days until Michael, the archangel over Israel, came and he fought to get me through so I can get the message to you. He was an Israelite in a foreign land. But that land was a land given to worshiping of idols and demonic things. And so that empowered the prince of Persia over that land. And that prince is the one that made it difficult for there to be a breakthrough or even an answer to get through. This is the reason why even some places, you can plant a church in that place and it will dry up. It doesn't matter how good a preacher you are. Doesn't matter how much you've got good musicians. Doesn't matter how much you've got people that are organized. But it will not succeed because the ruling spirit over that place will always quash whatever God is doing. And if you move it from here to there and you don't change a single formula, you find the church just blooms and begins to do well. Why? Because of the spiritual covering over the territorial spirits. Now, if believers and pastors don't understand this, then they go and plant churches and they put churches in certain places, in certain areas, and then they begin to become discouraged because they don't understand why they're not having a breakthrough in that place. And the reason is because the realm, the spiritual realm over that area, or the spirits that are ruling over that area, they will always squash anything that is coming out of that place. Are we learning something? Now, we understand why businesses do well in one area and they don't do well in another. In some cities, you can actually draw a line and you can see that anybody living in this side of town can never do well. There's a spirit of poverty over that particular area. And if somebody who's doing well moves and starts to live there, they begin to be affected and their finances begin to be affected. Why? Because of the ruling spirit that is over that area. And one of the things that will happen is that whenever you move and you get to a place whereby you have grown spiritually and you move into a territory whereby there's a ruling spirit, the first thing that's going to happen is that that spirit will get your attention, or rather, that spirit will recognize you before you even do anything. The Bible says when Jesus went to the to Gadarenes, the Bible says when he landed, these two men ran from the graveyard. They ran from the city did not even realize he was there. The town didn't even know that he had arrived. But the first thing that noticed that a spiritual authority has just entered our region was the demonic people. Immediately they were in the graveyard, just minding their own business, whatever demonic people do. And all of a sudden, something is happening in the realm of the spirit. There's a greater spiritual authority that has just entered the house. They will pick you out. They will pick you out. And immediately, the welcoming committee is the two demoniacs. So they run down to the shore. And they come running to Jesus. And Jesus says, come out, legion. His spirit starts to come out of him. And this spirit begs him, says, don't send us out of this region. Don't send us out of this region. Because it was a territorial spirit. Demons can be territorial. So he says, don't send us out of this region. Do you know, if you read your Bible, when Jesus was on his way to this place, this was the time when they had a storm. And this was the time when he said, peace be still. Now, when he gets to where they were heading, the demoniacs come running. Do you know who caused the storm in the sea while he was heading down there? The same spirits that were on those two men. Why? Because they were not just territorial spirits, but they were also water spirits. Why? Because when they left that man, they went into some pigs and the pigs ran into the water. If you ever read or been in Africa, they'll talk to you. They'll tell you about water spirits. We know about them in Africa. You may not know them here, but let me tell you, they are reality. These are spirits that live where the waters are. The book of Revelation says in the end times that there will be a spirit that will come out of the waters. Hallelujah. Go read in the book of Revelation. Talks about this. So these spirits were territorial. They recognized who Jesus was. So if your ministry is going to be successful in a particular place God sends you, you must first deal with a strong man over that land. Hallelujah. So when you come to that land, you have to deal with a strong man because it will meet you immediately you get there. Deal with a strong man. The Bible says no man can go to a strong man's house and spoil his goods unless he first does what? Bind the strong man and then what? Spoil his house. Spoil his goods. Take what by the enemy has stolen. So if you go to a particular territory, God sends you to Hastings. God sends you to Napier, another part of Napier, or this part. The first thing you need to do, you need to go and subdue the spirits that are there. Because if you don't subdue the spirits that are there, then they will hinder you from being able to be effective in that land. Because they will recognize you before anybody else even recognizes you. Amen. And this is why a lot of us fail. We go to places, and then when things are so hard, we say, probably God didn't send us here. So we pull up our tents and we move somewhere else. And you know what? The devil has just won the battle. Because he sent you there and you never understood how to do spiritual warfare and take over the territory over where you're at. I remember, on Friday, I shared this testimony with you. When we took the church where we are at in Toowoomba, one day one person walked past. They were going shopping. And they walked past our church, and this lady, as she walked past the church, she manifested. They were just going shopping because our church is in a shopping center. She manifested. And her husband thought, what will I do? So he pushes her into the church. And I heard them coming into the church, and I walked out. And the first thing she said to me, you have no authority over this place. That was a territorial spirit. Challenging our church in where we were because we were upsetting things in the realm of the spirit. Hallelujah. And you have got to subdue them if you're going to see any fruit. So anywhere you go, anywhere God sends you, you have to subdue the spirits over that place. You have to bring down the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness of this world in that region if you're going to see any fruit coming back for the work that you're going to put in that place. Now, I've not even begun to deal with the 8 things. I don't even know. I'll start from somewhere. Amen. I will do maybe 2 or 3 or 4, and then we'll close. Who knows? Next time. So, how do you know you're under spiritual attack? How do you know that the enemy is actually, you've walked into a region, you planted a chapter in a particular town, you've gone somewhere, now you're facing opposition. How do you know that you're under spiritual attack? Now, this is the first thing that you're going to, I want you to write this down. Number one, if you want to know that you've come under spiritual attack and you're being opposed by the ruling spirits of a particular region, number one is a loss of spiritual desire. The goal of any spiritual attack is to turn you away from what God wants to do in your life. That is why the first warning sign of an attack is a loss of spiritual desires. Now, we don't live by feelings alone, but there's a difference between doing something merely out of obligation and doing something because you delight in it. And when you delight in the Lord, nothing else compares. Someone passionate for God finds pleasure in the things of God. So number one thing that you begin to experience when you enter a region and you begin to come under some resistance is that you begin to experience a loss of spiritual desire. In other words, you're not doing a job. You're just going through the motion. The desire to do what you're doing is not there anymore. And you become like Mary. Or was it Martha? He said, Martha, you are in the kitchen. You're busy doing all these things. But Mary has chosen that which is needful. And we become so busy for him that we're not busy with him. And the Lord spoke to me. I remember when I started pastoring this church. He said to me, I want you to take some time to spend with me every day. Never become so busy that you don't have time to pray and you don't have time to spend with me. And he said to me, don't let what you are doing for me jeopardize what I have done in you. Let me say that again. The Lord spoke to me and he said, don't let what you are doing for me jeopardize what I've done in you. Because we can get to a place whereby we are working and we are so busy for God that we become spiritually bankrupt. We are busy working for him and we're not working with him. And we are busy in the kitchen trying to get things happening and get things done when we should be sitting at the feet of Jesus. There's one thing that is needful. And so one of the things that happens is that you find people in a place whereby they begin to have a loss of spiritual desire and they're just dragging themselves. It's just about going through the motion. And sooner than later, your ministry becomes your cell, becomes your prison. I want to do something else, but I'm stuck doing this. I want to move on, but I feel like I'm stuck doing this. And so you're going through the motions. You've got a position. You've got a responsibility. There's so many pastors in this place who don't want to pastor, but they feel like they're stuck in it. They can't do anything else, and they don't feel any other doors are opening. So they're stuck doing it because they've lost all desire to do what they're meant to do. And the moment you get to this place, you begin to lose the ability to become fruitful in what you're doing for God. Because the Bible says, if ye be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Some of us, we are obedient, but our willingness is not there anymore. We've come to a place whereby, and this is where spiritual attack works. He's not targeting your obedience. He targets your willingness. Because for you to see the good of the land, to eat the good of the land, you must add your willingness to your obedience. Hallelujah. Some of us, we've gone into ministry and we're doing stuff kicking and screaming. There needs to be an adjustment in here. Amen. There needs to be an adjustment in here. God may send you to a place you don't want to go, but there needs to be an adjustment in here. You have to become willing. Add willingness to your obedience. Because God loves a cheerful giver. He's not just interested in you giving to him and you being able to sow your life into the ministry. He wants you to be cheerful while doing it. Your attitude will always determine your altitude. Your attitude will determine your altitude. And when you get to this place, you find that you're no longer thankful. You have no more thanksgiving in you. Life becomes hard and difficult, and there's no more thanksgiving coming out of you. But to be thankful is to be thankful. If you're thankful, God will fill up your tank. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It will change your attitude. You go from an attitude of thanksgiving to an attitude of complaining. Have you found yourself in a place where you're in a ministry where you're more complaining about things not happening and things not getting done and complain about this, complain about that. And when you get to that place, you're in a dangerous territory. You are under attack. You need to come back and wait on God and say, God, bring me to a place whereby my attitude is right. The Bible says that Jesus, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And the Bible says, what did he do with it? He gave thanks. Thanksgiving leads to multiplication. So even if you're in a ministry and you've got a lack of resources and the vision is bigger than the pocketbook and the bank account and you've got 5,000 people and only 5 loaves and 2 fish, there will always be still an attitude of thanksgiving. But the Bible says, neither ye murmur nor complain, as they murmured and complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer in the wilderness. Murmuring and complaining opens a door for a particular spirit called the destroyer to come in. The destroyer will destroy everything. Jesus warned us about this. He said, the thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The spirits called destroyers, and all they do, they will destroy your business, they will destroy your marriage, they will destroy your family, they will destroy your health, because that's their demonic assignment against you. And do you know which door they use to come into your life? Complaining. Complaining. The Bible says, neither ye murmur nor complain, as they murmured and complained in the wilderness. And when what happened in the wilderness, when they complained, the snakes came in and bit them. They had to look at the bronze serpent and be healed. So if you've been living a life of complaining instead of thanksgiving, you've opened a door, and you have to learn to begin to change your attitude by looking at the cross. The cross will heal you from the venom of the destroyer. Hallelujah. Help me, Jesus. I don't have much time. Now I'm going to just jump that one because I just don't have time to just, it takes a while. Number two. That was number one. Number one sign is lack of spiritual desire. You begin to lose that. Number two sign. I got eight. So I'm just going to probably finish in maybe four or five. Maybe four. We'll see how long we go. Now, some of it I've covered last night. Number two is physical fatigue or weariness. Now, I'm not going to deal with this much because I've already dealt with it last night. If you're here last night, I talked about weariness, the difference between tiredness and weariness. Tiredness is physical. Weariness is spiritual. Tiredness is how you feel at the end of the day after you've had a good, long working day. You feel tired. You have a shower. You eat. You go to sleep. You get up in the morning. You're okay. Weariness is a spiritual condition. You cannot fix it by sleeping. A lot of people, when they become weary, they lose spiritual desire. They don't want to be in church anymore. They experience what they call burnout. You've heard about burnout. They burn out. And the mistake people with burnout do is that they take a holiday. They go to the beach. They go on holiday. They take a break. When the Bible gives us the formula for curing weariness, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. And so the key is, when you feel weary, that's when you want to pull the plug and take some break and take some time out. When that's the time you should be in the house of the Lord at all times and plug yourself in until God breaks you out of that weariness. Because the way you deal with weariness is not the way you deal with tiredness. When you're tired, you take 2-3 days. Like Graham was telling me, something works hard and then it takes a couple of days sometimes. He's a workaholic just like me. I need my wife to always tell me, take some time out. Because I'm always working, always doing something. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I'd rather be a workaholic than a lazy person. Amen. But we need people who can balance us. But sometimes the way you deal with tiredness is not the way you deal with weariness. Amen. You connect with God. So one of the ways that we discover that we're under spiritual attack is that there's a spirit of weariness that comes upon us that just never goes. And when weariness comes, or they call it, it may manifest as a physical fatigue, it says that we get to a place whereby we begin to become sluggish. We begin to become slothful. We begin to slow down. And some of us, we are meant to fly like the eagle. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall mount up with wings. The three aspects of when you wait on God, depending on how much of your waiting on God you do, three things happen. Number one, you begin to walk. And then as you wait on God and you begin to press in, outer court experience is walking with God. As you press in and you keep on waiting with God, your walking turns to running. You shall run and not be weary. And you keep on pressing in and waiting on God, your running turns to flying. So many of us, we are flying because we are invested in waiting on God and spending time with the Lord. And we are flying like the eagle. But then when we begin to become slothful and slow, then we go from flying to running. And we go from running to walking. Because what happens? When you're tired of running, you start to do what? To walk. Now watch what the Bible says. Though I walk through the of the... That is why you should never get in the area of walking. Stay running. Amen. Because when you slow down to the point of walking, yes, you're still walking. Yes, you're still praying. Yes, you're still spending time with the Lord. But you're walking every day. It's like you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Every single day. But you have to learn to run like Elijah. The Bible says some may trust in horses, some may trust in chariots, but we will trust in the name of the Lord. He outran the king's chariots. Run like Elijah. And if you run fast enough and you spend time with God, you keep on waiting on God, He will give you some wings and you will be able to soar up with wings. Because there are some things which can hinder people who walk, and there are things which can hinder people who run, but there are some things that cannot hinder people who fly. If I'm walking and I find a big lake, I am hindered. Can't go through the lake. If I'm running and I come through a valley or a cliff or a big hole, I'm hindered. But people that are flying with wings like eagles, Satan will put all sorts of things in front of them and they will just fly over them. Live in the arena of the eagle, like the eagles. Amen. Become an eagle. Hallelujah. Become an eagle. Amen. Live in that arena. Refuse to run. Refuse to walk. Stay in that place. Because when you slow down to the point of walking, you will only be walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And every day, oh my goodness, it's toiling every single day. I'm still keeping on. Still moving. Still, but keep on till you begin to run. Hallelujah. Wait on God. That's how you deal with the physical fatigue. When you begin to see yourself going, at one time you are soaring and really seeing God doing stuff and miracles happening. You are soaring and seeing prophetic things and doors are opening. Then you begin to become tired and then you start to run. And the financial challenges that were not a challenge to you, you were just believing God and finances were coming because you're flying over financial hurdles and flying over things. Now these things begin to become a challenge. The things that you once overcame, now they're overcoming you. And then you begin to slow down and you start to walk. And in the future, what you'd have accomplished in one day takes you 1 month. Things begin to spread out. And you know that you're under spiritual attack. Because if He cannot stop you, He will slow you down. If He cannot stop you, He will slow you down. What time is it? All right. Number three. Lack attack. How do you know you're under spiritual attack? Somebody say, lack attack. Whenever you come to a place whereby you're beginning to experience lack in your life that has come out of nowhere. Now let me give you a good lack attack. I think I'll say it like a Kiwi. Lack attack. Say it.
Lack attack.
That's right. Say.
Lack attack.
Amen. You come into a place of lack. Now, I want you to read this passage. It is the best classic example of what I'm talking about. Let us go quickly in our Bibles to... I'm teaching today. I'm not preaching. 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. Verse 24 to verse 27. 2 Kings chapter 6. The Bible says, "And it happened after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And indeed they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver. And 1/4 of a cub of a dove's droppings for 5 shekels of silver." They were actually buying dove's droppings for 5 shekels of silver. "Then as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, 'Help my lord, O king.' He said, 'If the Lord does not help you, where can I find help for you? From the threshing floor or from the wine press?' They go to a place where they're eating each other's babies. Now, the Bible says that Samaria was besieged by the enemy. Samaria had big, strong walls. And that's why the enemy couldn't get breach and come in. They had big, strong walls. They had some nice gates, very strong. And so when the enemy came in, they shut themselves into the city. And so even though everything around was good, they began to suffer from lack. There were still crops out there. The rivers were still flowing out there. Everything was good out there. But somehow within the city, they got to a place whereby even the dove's droppings were going for 5 shekels of silver. Donkey's head was going for money. People were negotiating. We eat your baby today. Tomorrow we eat mine. Because they got to a place because they were besieged by the enemy on every angle. And they began to lack. If you come to a place whereby everything begins to be cut off in your life. And the gates have been shut in. And the income is not coming in. And there's nothing wrong with the economy. There's nothing wrong with the jobs. All of a sudden your client starts to go. This is exactly what happened with Job. In one day, one person comes running into his life, into his room. Tells him, Job, something happened. All your flock are gone. Somebody else comes right behind him and says, Job, your children are all dead. Somebody else comes behind him that kept on one after the other telling him what's wrong. Finally, his health went from bad to worse. He was besieged by the enemy. He was going through a spiritual attack. He didn't understand. And some of us, we go through this spiritual attack and we're saying, God, we don't understand what it is. We don't know what it is. We were in a place, but now we are struggling. We had finances coming in. We had things that were happening. Our business was doing well. Our ministry was doing well. But something happened, and now we are under lack. And you begin to struggle. And you look around, and the next guy next door doesn't even have half as good as you, and they're prospering and doing well. The other one down the road, they're not even as determined and as faithful as you, and they're springing forth and bearing fruit. But whatever you do, you feel like you've been besieged on every side. And you're saying, God, what is happening? Have you ever hit a season in your life and immediately your finances start to get affected? The finances, you start to lose contracts. Finances are getting affected. And around the same time, your car breaks down. The same time, the landlord puts up the rent and tells you, you've got to move because we're thinking of selling. And you know how hard it is to get another property. Same time, your kids are sent home from school. Your daughter comes to you and tells you, I'm feeling sick, and you take them to the hospital. And when you get to the hospital, they tell them that you've got a serious illness. And then they tell you that your insurance expired last month. And you're wondering, what is it? One after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. And if you want to know the things that will be affected, look at what was affected in Job's life. The first thing that was affected was his children. He will attack your children. They're going to go. Sometimes they end up going crazy. You're wondering, they were so good. They love God. They did all these things for God. But now they've grown horns, and you're wondering, what's happening with these kids? They're going out and taking drugs and all sorts of things. The next thing that happened is that all his flocks were stolen and they were killed. And they were taken from him. Job's business began to suffer. His business began to suffer. So sometimes this attack, like attacks, begins to manifest in the area of your business. That's why you have to pray for your leaders. I said at the start, pray for your leaders. Because if they begin to get attacked, these are the areas that they get attacked. Their business begins to suffer. And you're wondering, what is going on? The next thing that was attacked in Job's life is that his wife came to him and told him, curse God and die. Your marriage starts to suffer. You're saying, I don't know, we've been married a long time, but now we're in this place where we're struggling in our marriage. And I don't know where the devil came in, but he's coming into our relationship. And now it says one thing, and what was not an issue ever in our marriage becomes a big mountain. A molehill becomes a mountain. And you're wondering, what is going on? Whenever you get to these places, you know you're under spiritual attack. Hallelujah. The next thing that was attacked was his own body. The Bible says there was boils that showed up in the body of Job. You get to a place and you start to struggle with physical health and your things that God healed you long time ago. You haven't had to deal with them for years and years, and now you're struggling. They've started to come back on you. And you're saying, God, I'm fighting this illness and I'm recovering from that. I'm starting to have health struggles. Sometimes it's not just your age. It's not just the weather where you're at or who you're walking around. They've got you sick. Sometimes it's the enemy. Hallelujah. And you've got to learn to recognize attacks, spiritual attacks, when they come. Because if you don't recognize them, then your response will not be appropriate. And that's why I said we have to respond and not react. We have to respond. But for us to be able to respond, we have to know exactly what's going on. We have to know exactly what's happening. Amen. How many of you are learning something? You're getting something here. This is going to save your life one day. If you don't feel like, oh, I don't need it, trust me, just keep living. You're going to need it sooner than later. Amen. Lack attack, it'll struggle, it'll stifle up, it'll begin to bring tension. And the thing is this, if it attacks the church, even the leader in the church will be struggling. Even the leader in the midst, they will all be struggling. The king could not help these women. Couldn't help the women. Because they were besieged by the enemy. And sometimes Satan knows, I cannot go through the barrier, the spiritual barrier that is around you protecting you. But if I can get around you and hedge you in and make sure that I block everything around you, then I've got you. This is what happened with Daniel. The Bible says that Daniel was in a land and he was praying and the enemy put a blanket over him. The angel couldn't penetrate. Michael, an archangel, had to come and fight to get him through so that he can get the answer to Daniel. They had been besieged. There was a spiritual covering over the land that they were in, Babylon. There was a spiritual covering. And so the angel was not able to go through to get the message over to Daniel. But he had to sit there and he was praying and wondering, why is the answers not coming? The answers were sent. They just haven't been received because of you're being besieged by the enemy. He comes around, your bills, an embankment around you. And many times this is an attack that can influence anybody, can influence anyone. This is an attack that can influence anybody that's living right, doing the right thing. You don't have to sin to get to this place. Because the enemy doesn't have to breach the walls to get in, to attack you. All he has to do is begin to isolate you and build a wall of oppression around you. And then you see the friends that used to understand. They don't understand you. There's always misunderstandings. He separates you from everything. And whenever you find yourself in this place, you know there's an attack of the enemy. And sometimes the only thing that can break you out of these sort of things is a prophetic word from God. Because the prophet came and said, this time tomorrow, there's going to be a turnaround. The Bible says this man said, even if God opens the windows of heaven, this soldier said, if God opens the windows of heaven, we don't believe it's going to happen. It can't happen that quick. And he slapped the man of God. And the man of God said to him, you shall see it and you shall not experience it. When you enter through this kind of an attack, only God can break you out from this kind of attack. The Bible says outside the city, there were some lepers. They said, if we go into the city, we will die. If we go out there, these enemies will kill us. But said, let us go. They started to march. And God used some lepers and magnified their footsteps. It sounded like a multitude of soldiers and a big army was coming, advancing against them. And the enemy turned around and took off and ran. Why? Because the enemy knows that the spirit of fear will keep us in this place. But if you begin to walk, one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000. And so he wants you to be blocked in this spirit of fear, because that's what it is. Fear will come and you will feel like you're just trembling and you don't want to take any step forward and you don't want to take any step back, and you can't do anything for God because you're besieged. Let us go to Asia to preach. I can't, because I don't have any money to do that, because I'm going through a lack attack. Let us do this meeting. We can't do that because our finances is struggling. Let us go and do that. We can't do it because we don't have. And so there's no progress because of the attack of the enemy. And there's a fear, spirit of fear that comes in. And we begin to want to hang on to the resource and everything, to keep everything. But the Bible says there are these lepers that just took one step and started walking. And that's what God was looking for. Was looking for someone to take a step of faith. Because the moment you take a step of faith, those who are with you are more than those who are against you. Hallelujah. That is why sometimes they may say to you, let us go to India to do this meeting. Don't say, no, we can't go to India because we don't have money. Say, yes, I will come. But no, if you don't know, you don't even have 1 cent. If you say, yes, I'll come by faith, you know what? You've taken a step like the leper. And God begins to magnify that step. They say, let us go and do this. Don't say, I can't do it because I don't have this and I don't have the education, I don't have this. No, take that step. And as you do that, God magnifies it. And when he magnifies it, you find yourself in a place whereby the attack has been thwarted and destroyed. Why? Because the issue is not that you're not living right. The issue is that the enemy has gotten you into a place whereby you've been bound up by a spirit of fear, which will always lead to a lack attack. There's an attack that comes in. That works with a spirit of fear. We become fearful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand up on our feet. We'll stop there. God willing, one day we'll finish it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can I have just my wife up on the keyboard? I want you to lift up your hands. How many of you have learned something today? Some lights have come on. My heart's desire, and this is what I was praying this morning. I said, God, I pray they're going to have an aha moment. They're going to get to a place and say, so that's what was happening. So that's what's going on in our church. That's what's going on in our chapter. That's what's going on in our fellowship. This is what's going on in our family. The issue was not the family. The issue was not the wife. The issue was not the kids. The issue was not the job that you're working in. The issue is that you are under spiritual attack. And God wants you to be able to break through that spiritual attack. We're going to do some warfare prayer. I don't know what Bill did this morning, but we need to pray right now to begin to break some of those, because there's some people here tonight, or this afternoon, you're being attacked by the enemy. He's attacking your finances. He's attacking your marriage, attacking your life, attacking your health. You're struggling in your body. You're wondering what is going on. But because you're serving God and God has been promoting you and getting you to the front line, you've been hit by the enemy. But the Lord wants you to get to a place of freedom. Freedom. Hallelujah. Jesus was the only one that I know that I've read of who walked and was able to become free of every single attack. The enemy did try to attack, but he always stepped out in faith. One time they sent him a whole bunch of bills. They told him, pay these bills. His ministry didn't have money, so Jesus took a step of faith. He said, Peter, take your fishing rod. Go to the pond. First fish. How many of you know that takes faith? Satan was trying to besiege him and get him to quit the ministry and go get a daytime job so he can pay his bills and pay the taxes, because the letter came from the tax department. We're going to pay, or we're going to lock you up or give you some fines or whatever. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Get a big tax, you know, when they come for their money, you better give it to them. Give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. But Jesus took a step of faith. He said, no, devil, you're not going to besiege me with this lack attack. I know the giving has not been good. People have not been sowing into our ministry. I've got 12 men that have left their jobs to follow me. I've got to look after them. I've got to pay their tax bills as long as mine. But I'm going to have to step by faith and say, go out and catch the first fish. Open the mouth. There will be enough money in there. He had to step out by faith to be able to do such a thing. Satan was trying to rope Jesus into a place whereby he will become unstable because of a lack attack. One time somebody, Jesus says to his disciples, these guys who have come with us, they've been traveling for 3 days. You send them back, they will faint on the way. Give them something to eat. The disciples said, all right, let's sit down. Everybody empty your pockets. They emptied their pockets. They thought there's not enough money to feed these people. But they realized, well, Jesus is here. Let's take what we've collected. Only 5 loaves and 2 fish. They took it to Jesus. They said, Jesus, this is all we've got. And Jesus said, devil, you're not going to lock me up in a lack, in a place of lack. Sometimes God will give you a vision that is bigger than your pocketbook. He'll give you a vision bigger than your bank account. He'll give you a vision bigger than your physical strength to do it. He'll give you a vision, just like Caleb. Caleb was probably over 100 years old. But when he crossed when he crossed that little river, Jordan, he said, give me that mountain. Hallelujah. He didn't look at the frailty of his body. He believed God. Abraham, Sarah did not look at the deadness of his womb or the deadness of his loins. He believed God against. He said, God, you are able to do it. And God did it. Hallelujah. He refused to be put in a place whereby he could not function because of lack. Sometimes God will give you a vision that is bigger than your provision. God will never give you a vision that is smaller than your provision. Now, the mistake many people do whenever God gives them a call is that they sit down and they write the budget down. The Bible doesn't say write the budget down. It says write the vision down. We've got it the other way around. Because when you write the budget down, you begin to dumb things down and try to bring the vision to meet your budget. But the Lord said, write the budget down and believe me to bring in everything that is needed. I sat with our church. Our church has only got 2 years history of saving. We're not as fortunate as other churches in Toowoomba that's been there for 29 years and 30 years and 35 years, and they've got all this money they've saved up over those years. We don't have much money. But so I said to the church, I said, that is not a big deal because we serve a big God. And that which is not enough in our hands become more than enough in His. We will give Him our 5 loaves and our 2 fish, and that which is not enough in our hands becomes more than enough in His, and the need will be met. I said to our church, let's sit down. And I came up with a plan. I said, this is what our church is going to look like. It's going to sit 1,200 people. It's going to have carpet wall to wall. We're going to have creation. We're going to have big screen. We're going to have this. And they said, Pastor, we don't have money for this. We have to work around the budget. I said, the Bible doesn't say write down the budget. It says write down the vision. Then believe God for the provision. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The devil will put us in a fix whenever we begin to be motivated by our budgets instead of our vision. Next time, even as Full Gospel, sit down and write the vision down. Don't look at the pocketbook. Don't look at the bank account. Write down what you want God to do. And with every vision, there will be provision. If 3 million men left Egypt and for 40 years in the wilderness, they never sowed, they never harvested, but for 40 years, they never went without breakfast, lunch, or dinner. God provided every day for 40 years. Don't tell me God can't look after you. There's nowhere where they went and they tilled the ground and put seed in the ground. Yet 3 million people had breakfast, they had dinner, they had lunch in a wilderness where nothing grows. And the Bible says the clothes they walked out with, they never had holes in their shoes. Why? For every vision, there will be provision. I'm just hoping that we're going to catch this. And we will not allow the enemy to hinder us from becoming the ministry, the full gospel ministry that we are meant to be. I see this ministry touching New Zealand. Many people may have written on full gospel and said, that's just a historic thing. God's doing a new thing now. Rubbish. Let me tell you, God is about to raise Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship into another dimension in the realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm believing God that one day we were going to get back to the place where the prime minister and the government ministers will want to come and sit in the high table because of the amount of status that God is going to give this ministry, because we are called by God, hallelujah, to move the nations. They will say, we want to come in and be a part of what you're doing, because these are businessmen. There will be multi-millionaires in this place being raised up. There will be billionaires being raised up in this place. And they will know that the economy of the nation is being held by Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. They will line up to kiss your shoes. And you will be able to influence the policies of this land. Hallelujah. If they want to pass some homosexual bills and laws, you can say no. And they will say, we better not offend the Full Gospel Businessmen people. We better do what you better do, walk in righteousness. Because you've not been called to be beneath. You've been called to be above. Deuteronomy 28 says, I will bless you in the city and I'll bless you in the field. That means I'll bless you at home. I'll bless your business. I'll bless your coming in and going out. You shall be the head and not the tail. You shall be above and not beneath. You shall lend to the nations and shall not borrow. I will bless your fruit basket, your basket. I'll bless your finances, your kneading bowl. You will not lack. God is saying that He's going to set up this ministry to influence the nations. Father God, right now I pray that you will raise up millionaires in this place. I went to Malaysia and I saw a man, a Full Gospel businessman, say the police, the Muslim police, have arrested two pastors, but they're going to have to let them go because I said so. Not because the commissioner said so, not because he, because I said so. Because of the influence that he has in the city. He's built half the city. The time I stayed with him, he had a project. He was building 950 houses, units, apartments. The police station was built by him. He donated all their vehicles, put screen, gave them communication equipment. The Bible says you shall lend to the nation that shall not borrow. The Bible says money answereth all things in Ecclesiastes. Go check it out. A poor man may rescue a city, but when it's rescued, nobody remembers him. It's in the Bible. And so God is saying, I'm about to raise up this ministry to a place where there's going to be influence even in the nation. Father God, we don't have time. It's 4 o'clock right now. 4:03. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you release your anointing over this place. Release your anointing over this place. Raise these people up to become millionaires. Millionaires. Let there be a millionaire anointing in this place. People will come to the chapters because they know they are sitting next to somebody. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, shadabakanda labasete. I went to Malaysia and I saw their president hire an entire cruise ship. An entire cruise ship that seats 4,000, takes 4,000 passengers. He said, we're going to do a convention. He says, how much to rent the entire cruise ship? Paid out of his own pocket. And he said, if those people come, they pay, you can refund me a little bit out of what they pay. If they can't afford, let them come. You have not seen blessings. Let me tell you, that is coming to this land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, raise up movers and shakers in this place. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now I break right now. I want us to pray. We got 1 minute. Begin to pray right now that every attack of the enemy shall be repelled. If you've been attacked in your body, your finances, your marriage, your children, your property, your business, right now begin to pray. In the name of Jesus, every attack of the enemy, we resist you right now. We break your power. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we resist you right now. We rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' mighty name. You shall not succeed. you shall not succeed. Father, we thank you that we shall be tenacious in order to do what needs to be done. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Holy Spirit. For the women. Yeah. Sheda baba baraba sika raba shanta laraba sete. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you're releasing right now. There's a prophetic word for the ladies. Pick up the baton. Run with the vision God has given to this fellowship. Your prayers and intercession are a vital part of this ministry. Pick up the baton and run with it. Somebody shout amen. And I believe that's more than just for the women. I believe every man needs to do that as well. But especially for the women. Pick up the baton and run. It's about time. Father, we thank you for your presence. Now, we don't have much time to pray for the sick. We'll do that tonight as well. I hope Bill will be here and he'll be ministering. And I'm going to believe God for miracles. But I'll pray real fast right now. So if you're sick in your body, just put your hand where you're sick. We're going to pray and believe God for healing right now. Father, I thank you that your healing power is already in this place. And Lord Jesus, we just pray right now, let healing virtue, the healing power of God begin to flow right now from my left side to the right. I pray sicknesses and diseases. Right now, you know who is attacking you. Tell him where to go. Say, devil, in the name of Jesus, let me go right now. Loose me. Turn me loose in Jesus' name. I rebuke you right now. Get your hands off of my finances. Get your hands off of my body. Get your hands off of my family. Get your hands off of my business. Go in Jesus' mighty name. Now thank you, Lord, right now that your healing virtue and healing power is coming down and touching your people, bringing them into a place of deliverance and a place of healing and a place of transformation. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I love you with the love of the Lord. Thank you for staying, paying attention, not falling asleep. Amen. That's a miracle today. I was expecting half the people to be in La La Land, but you've all been awake. That's nothing short of a miracle. Especially after lunch on a Sunday. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Steve.